This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to another Mother Runner. This is Sarah Bowen Shea here at the Goo headquarters in Berkeley, California. I am joined to my right by Molly Williams.
Hello, hello, hello.
And there next to her on the sectional is Dimity McDowell.
Not in Denver today.
Not in Denver anymore. No. So, all right. So, Molly, we drove here from Portland.
We had a goo time.
The first of many goo puns, perhaps, for the evening.
Probably.
Yeah.
How many miles was that?
You know, it was over 400.
Or 30.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It was over 400.
Yeah. 400, okay.
Yes, and it took us about 10 and a half hours. We stopped whenever we wanted. Many lovely rest stops. We stopped at what's the name of the bridge in Reading?
The Sundial Bridge.
Sundial Bridge. We stopped at that. We stopped in Ashland to get, because there's a really good bake shop there. Ashland is where the world famous Shakespeare Festival is.
We went to Mix.
Went to Mix. You drank some of the Lithia water.
Yes.
In Ashland, they have it's natural water, right? It has.
Oh yeah, it's spring water and it's got lithium in it, and they used it for crazy people to make them feel better.
I'm not sure they actually used that term.
You'd go and take the cure. That would be
take
part
the
of
waters, the vapors.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the cure takes many forms, but that would be part of your.
And
cure.
It tastes terrible.
Oh, it tastes terrible. It tastes like a fart. You should have tried it. You didn't try it. I have tried it in the past.
Yeah. Yes,
but I always have a little sip.
Yeah. And then I let you drive afterwards.
How does it make your stomach feel?
Oh, I mean, you just basically wet your whistle on it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you feel so happy that, you know, your stomach, it doesn't matter. You're fine.
Okay.
You're fine.
Your stomach just goes along for the ride.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what does fart exactly taste like?
Well, you'll have to go to Ashland and find out.
Well, you did bring me like the best chocolate chip cookie ever from there. So I think I'll I want that to be my memory of Ashland, not fart water.
The bakery is fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and now that marijuana is legal here in California, it seemed like there were less pot tourists there in town. Or weed tourists in Ashland.
You thought so?
Mm-hmm.
How can you tell?
It just didn't seem as many as usual. So, we drove down in the Chrysler Pacifica Hybrid.
Oh, my
hybrid.
Gosh. What a nice ride.
It was a really nice ride. Yeah. So, that was fun with the huge sunroof. And so, we rode in style. And then we are flying back after spending the weekend here in San Francisco. And Alex, the podcast producer, is going to drive it back and play disc golf. And camp along the way, because that's how he rolls.
Wow. Three cheers to be a young man, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Without obligations to get back, yeah. And then Alex next weekend is staying at my house. I'm going to, it's the start of spring break. Remember, it's on your calendar. So it's the start of spring break. And so taking the twins, Phoebe's going off with her friends to the coast. And so Jack and the twins and I, and each of them get to bring a friend. We're going to the coast. And so Alex he knows our house pretty well. Not sure you've ever been on the second floor, but you know the first floor in the basement really well. And he loves my cat Miller and dog Augie.
Party at Sarah's, that's all I gotta say.
Yeah. So, and you have spring break too, Dim.
We do. We are, my family and I are going to Park City.
Nice.
Yep, with my older sister. We have kids the same age.
Mm-hmm.
So it's some good, solid cousin time as we have freshmen in high school. And so that's dwindling quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be good. We just need some snow. So if the East Coast wants to send their nor'easters to the Rockies, please, we'll take some snow for our spring break. We watched all the Olympics, the Winter Olympics, and Ben, who's my sixth grader, is just every sport. I want to try that, Mom. I really want to try curling. Can you find me a curling club, Mom? Googling Denver curling club while we're watching.
I think you need to get to the Midwest to do that.
Maybe. Well, actually, we do have quite a wait list. I mean,
there's a wait list.
Well, I according to the website, you know, you can always whatever.
Maybe if you know somebody.
But who knows? But And so I was like, well, maybe we could go bobsledding, right? Because that's where all the, when Salt Lake held the Olympics, everything was up in Park City, all the, all the kind of speed sports.
The sliding sports.
The sliding sports, yep. And, but you have to be 16 to try the bobsled.
Oh, come on.
Or maybe even 18.
Oh, come on. He is so tall. He totally, I mean, as long as his mother
doesn't open
up.
His mouth, and he sounds like it. Yeah. So anyway, so we'll be in Park City doing some fun stuff. Snowshoeing, skiing a couple days. You know?
Oh, nice. How long are you going to be there?
Monday through Saturday, I believe.
I'm not sure that's on the AMR calendar.
Well, we'll be tomorrow. I'm out. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it should be good. Yeah, well, it's the first of, I mean, I really associate spring break with the smell of salt in the air, i.e. ocean water. And we've not done that. I've done,
because
like
growing
South
up
Dakota,
in Minnesota,
we went to Florida a lot.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, that was like, we drove across, we had one grandparent in Naples and one in Delray Beach, and we drove across Alligator Alley. Anyone know Alligator Alley? A1A? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was my spring break. And so going places that where there's no ocean is tough. I mean, first world tough. Mm-hmm. Let me qualify that. It's not tough. It's just different. It's an adjustment. So
the smell of pine in the air, that would be good. You know, that's
something
a fragrance.
Like that, yeah. But
because
you know,
snow doesn't have a whole lot of fragrance.
No, yeah. It does not. So anyway, so it should be good. I'm looking forward to it.
And you're going to, you know, go to Utah in preparation for going to Utah less than 2 months after that.
I know,
retreat.
Ogden, our retreat. I know. Maybe I'll.
There's still a spot or two left.
Yep. All right. Come and join us in Utah.
I got a spot reserved for you, though.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Well, I think we need to talk about our adventure at Soul Cycle this morning. Who's here has tried Soul Cycle? Yes.
Yeah.
Did you guys find it as hard as I did? Because holy cow, I was like sweating like a mother.
Yeah.
And like, I think it's the hardest workout I've done. And
yeah, but I think they keep the room warm to make you think that you're working extra super duper hard.
Well, it's very Bikram yoga-ish.
That's what somebody else said, that they do that on purpose. And not the same with Cycle Bar.
No, Cycle Bar is nice and cool. Yeah.
Okay.
I still sweat like a mother in Cycle Bar, but I mean, Soul Cycle to me, I was worried I was going to have a panic attack.
Yeah, I was a little bit afraid of
that too. They mark the emergency. I mean, I've never been in a workout where they mark the emergency exits. Two doors.
Mm-hmm. Like, I looked at them and told myself that. I'm like, okay, there's the exit.
Well, because all if you haven't been in this, the studio has, I mean, you know, motivating words printed all around the walls and printed on all over the walls. So it is hard to discern the door from the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And no windows. Mm-hmm. At least at this particular studio.
When our instructor jumped off the bike, I thought, okay, that's a good idea. All right. Follow you. Then,
yeah. And a lot of pulsing in this class. Up and down, pulsing on your, and pulsing is my word for it. That's kind of what I did. I mean, okay. You know you're uncoordinated when you cannot follow the moves on a bike.
you're having to spin your legs at the same time.
Your legs, I'm going left. And right. And I'm like, oh my God, everyone else is going right and I'm going left and vice versa. I'm like, no mirrors. Like, just, it's a hard, I mean, it was definitely, the first one was an immersion that I was not anticipating being it that challenging, both mentally and physically.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think there's a learning curve, but at least you didn't injure yourself like some people have in a stationary bike class.
Every Sunday, Molly and I go to Cycle Bar, which is similar. It's in, but like I said, a cooler room. And so, and they, you know, play great music in all of these classes. And so, they did a throwback. We're playing Neil Diamond, Sweet Caroline.
And we went to go for a high five.
Yeah, hands touching hands. No, we went to hands
touching
hands.
Oh, that's what it was.
I was leaning
and
like
fell
this,
right off
and
the bike.
And my foot fell right out of the, unclipped. And so I have a cut and a bruise on the back of my calf.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. But no, that was very fun. And we're going running tomorrow morning along it's a trail that goes along the bay.
Oh, you've already picked out the path.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yep.
Good.
Oh, I saw it when we were driving into the city this morning, and I got directions from somebody who works here. Yeah.
Is it hilly?
Oh, gosh, no, it's right along the bay.
So that would be flat.
And it would be sea level.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little giveaway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and Molly, you just started training for a race this week.
I did. Yeah. So we were going to both do the Mayor's Race in Anchorage, Alaska, but you've decided just to support me in that race.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct. Because I'm going to do the Ragnar Northwest Passage 3 weeks later.
Yeah. And some of it was on a Jeep road.
And because I hate mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't like the idea of being on a Jeep road.
Did you say a cheap road?
Jeep.
Oh, Jeep, Jeep. Road.
Lots of potholes. Lots of potholes.
You were worried about the uneven surface and your ankle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you're doing all the training with me.
Yes. Oh, yeah. As long as you'll have me.
Well, yeah.
She's on the 13.1 train like a mother run plan. Just a little thing. And here's Terry here in the audience. And she just has done about, 10 Ragnars, I feel like, or maybe between 7 and 10?
It's probably five different ones.
Yeah. Five different ones. But you've done Napa a couple times, but she said Northwest Passage was her favorite because it was so beautiful.
That's what I heard. Oh, I bet it is so gorgeous. So it starts in Blaine, Washington, which is just south of the Canadian border. It's where you come in if you're driving in from Vancouver, British Columbia, and then goes toward what island is it that it goes? It's not Whidbey, is it? Maybe it's an island off of Seattle. So it should be quite lovely. So I'll be driving the Pacifica.
Yep. Nice, nice.
Yeah.
It will be pretty.
Yeah, it'll be very nice.
Will someone recognize you in the shower again, do you think?
Oh, that should have been the embarrassing thing. We just recorded a podcast for someone else, and they were like, tell us. And the podcast is called Running for Real, and they were like, tell us a running for real moment. And I use, of course, peeing in my capris, but that would have been a much better story.
A much better one.
Oh, yeah.
Just soaping up my armpits. Yeah. All right.
Just trying to scooch down because the shower head was so low, and I thought, do I keep my, it's a group shower, and I was like, do I keep my back toward the wall and stick my front part out, or do I turn around and stick my butt out? So I opted for sticking the front parts out.
TMI.
So we obviously have a special show, not only because we are recording from a live audience, but we have two very special guests today. And Molly's gonna be hopping off the podcast because we have three microphones.
Yep.
So
I already got to talk to Magda, and she is just so interesting and wonderful, and I'm so excited for her race. I'm going to follow her. We're besties. Okay. She's going to be my new running partner. No.
Well, she's wearing a striped shirt just like I have on. Yeah.
We call each other. All right, so I'm going to say goodbye.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Molly. So we have, as two guests, we have two Olympians, and they're both repeat guests on the AMR podcast. First up is Magdalena Louis-Boulay, and then we're going to be joined by Alicia Montano, and here is Magda. Thank you, right on cue.
Woo-hoo!
Hello, Twinsie. How are you?
We talked to each other this morning.
Right. The dance goes, the stripes.
That's right,
yeah.
That's right.
I didn't get the memo.
Yeah. So let me do a quick bio of you, and I'm going to read my cheat sheet. So, do you like to be called, do you use Louis Boulay, or you just go by Boulay?
I just go by Boulay now.
That's what I thought. That's your website. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yes.
First of all, we have to tell how much she has broccoli in her hair.
Oh, that's so funny.
You look so cute.
I'm going to match Alicia.
I can't have a flower.
It's a fell, yeah.
Because you can eat the accoutrements in your hair.
I will.
Yeah, she can't eat a fake flower.
The traffic's bad. You have a snack.
I got to beat her in something.
So Magda came in second at the 2008 Olympic Marathon Trials. You ran marathons for a decade on the road. And then in 2013, Magda switched to ultra running. A mere 2 years later, Magda won her first ever 100-mile race, the prestigious Western States Endurance Run. Famously, on that race, her only fuel during the course of that 19-hour, 5-minute, and 21-second race was goo Roctane drink. Yep, only liquid energy. 2 months ago, Magda and a group of concerned citizens ran 250 miles in a single weekend across Utah's Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante National Monuments. When you're not running, you lead innovation and research here at Goo, and you're also the mother runner of a son. So welcome back, Magda.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Super excited to have you guys here at Goo.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's fun being here. So in addition to your son, Owen, we saw that you recently adopted a new member of your family, a fur baby.
Oh, my God. I'm in love. I'm so in love. And he's such a puppy. It's like having a baby in the house.
Because he's what? Again. Mishu's like 8, 9 months old?
He's 9 now.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah. It's been almost 2 months.
What kind of dog is he?
He's kind of a shepherd mix. He looks like a German shepherd, but he's mixed with some things. He's a little smaller, about 50 pounds. And
Where'd you get him?
Berkeley shelter, just around the corner.
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Yep. And so is he going to be your running friend, or is he kind of just a household pet?
You know, I like him for cuddling.
Oh yeah, that's the reason. I thought maybe I was the only person who that's why I have a dog, is just to cuddle him like a baby. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
makes my heart melt every day.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But you show some pictures on your Instagram account of running with him, or does that just like?
Oh, I mean, he kind of just trips me.
Yeah. Dogs are good at that.
I'm kind of a toy to him right now. He chases me, and it's not really running.
All right. And so wait, I want to hear about 250 miles in a single weekend. I mean, so did you do 125? How'd you split that puppy up?
Right. Well, there were a few of us.
Okay.
We had 17 people that participated in this, and I knew only two of them. So we kind of showed up in Utah and decided to go on this incredible journey. And it just really depended, like, how many people were going to show up. We were going to split, you know, our legs into either 5 miles, 6 miles.
Oh. So we did kind of as a relay.
It was a relay.
Okay. Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't get that.
Continuously for over 30 hours. So either you were running or you were supporting, you know, someone else. You were in a van, in a car. And, yeah, it just... very little sleep, but it was an incredible, incredible experience to, you know, just meet, you know, strangers on one day, and then your best friends 30 hours later.
Yeah, as happens with so many relays. I mean, that's the way.
Yeah, so fun.
Have you done organized relays?
No,
races?
This is my first one.
Oh, uh-huh, yeah. Look at that.
Yeah.
Way to jump into the deep end.
Totally, and I'm ready to do another one.
Oh, good.
And then when we got here, we saw you training in a very special environment here at GOO.
I know.
You guys caught
me. It was so badass. Oh, my God, so badass.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you.
Yeah, so tell folks what you were doing.
Well, I was just being miserable for 45 minutes. I was in a room, little room, that is actually a hypoxic chamber, so it's an altitude chamber, but the altitude was off, so it's at sea level, and I turn it into a heat chamber because of the race that I'm preparing for, which is going to be, well, at least 125 degrees on any given day. So I'm trying to adapt to being comfortable in a warm weather.
Well, and so you had on, I mean, I don't know what your clothing had on, but you had on a GOO hat. You had on like a weatherproof jacket with your hood up. Like what kind of clothing did you have on your body?
Right, so I'm full on tights. I had a long sleeve shirt and a sweatshirt under the jacket.
Oh my goodness.
Then waterproof jacket and a beanie.
And she was stepping up and down.
Stepping up and down.
For 45 minutes, you just step up and down.
Mm-hmm. And you were wearing a weighted backpack.
And I had a weighted backpack. Okay, all the details make it sound really miserable right now.
and so you're training for Marathon des Sables, is
I'm
that right?
I'm training for Marathon des Sables, yeah.
Okay. And tell people where that is and some details about it, please.
So it's running through the Sahara Desert.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just
it's self-supported, which means that you have to bring every single thing that you're going to be using for a full week, every calorie you put
including
in, breakfast.
Your tent? Do you have to carry your tent?
No tent and no water. So at the end of the day, when you finish your stage, there will be tents set up, and you get X amount of water per day.
Hopefully
enough
X
to
amount
stay.
Is yeah. like, yeah.
I think it's about 7 liters per day. So that includes what are you going to be hydrating with during running, and also breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Mm-hmm. Are you cooking your own meals?
I will not be cooking. People are bringing jet boil stoves so they can prepare little meals. I will be getting really creative, and I'll make my own stuff here at work that requires just water to be added to my meal.
Wow.
What? Give me an example of what lunch is. Or not lunch, because you'll be running.
I'll
What's
be
dinner?
Running during lunch. But like
broccoli
overnight oats
here.
That I can just, you know, put water in it. Uh-huh. I'll probably put like milk proteins in there. So, you know, I already have something substantial with the oats. I'll probably add MCT oils to have good fats in there. And then for dinner, I'll probably do a lot of mashed potatoes that you add water to it with, you know, something cheesy and fatty. It'll be really simple stuff that you just, you know, that it's usually either dehydrated or really quick to just mix with water, cold water. And I found instant coffee that you mix in cold water, which is
heavenly.
It's gonna change my life, I know. Because I was really debating whether I should bring coffee,
yeah,
and it was really hard decision. But every ounce really counts, and you have to carry that stuff. But now...
There you go. And so remind us, how long is it?
So it's a week long, and it's 160 miles, broken into anywhere, you know, 20 miles per day. There's one stage, supposedly, that is 50 miles. We won't know the breakdown till we get there.
Oh, so you can't really prepare.
And so it changes. Does it somewhat change because of the topography, or?
They do have four different courses that they rotate to.
Oh, okay.
And they won't tell you till you
So it's not just because, like, a sandstorm has totally
No, it's just,
wiped.
You know, because you have to make it harder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why not? It's already miserable. Why not make it harder?
And how many participants are in it, typically?
Believe it or not, close to 1,500.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. And do you have to pack everything out as well?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you drop anything on the course, there is a big fine.
Good. Are there, well, now since we're talking about dropping things, are there porta potties at the camping station? In case you want to drop the kids off at the pool.
I think you're, yes, you do have to pack everything out.
Mm-hmm. But are there, there's no facilities at the overnight stops?
Correct. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
In the middle of Sahara. Yeah. Like how there's not like you can bring out a truck with a portage.
The honey buckets. Yeah.
The honey buckets.
Wow.
It will be very different.
When is the starting date of this lovely adventure?
In a month. Less than
in
a month.
Yeah, okay.
Like three and a half weeks.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Okay. Well, good luck. Yes.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like you have kind of that theme going because you also, I remember, just summited a really hard mountain, right? A really high mountain, or not just, but recently.
In December, this was actually one of our projects here at GU, where that's why we have an altitude chamber here at GU, but we tested a protocol to get to the highest volcano in the world, coming from sea level all the way above 22,000 feet in about 5 days turnaround time without spending time on the mountain. Usually people take about 3 weeks to adjust to altitude. They do it in stages, and we went door to door in about 5-6 days.
And where is that volcano?
In Chile.
Right, because I mean, because the volcanoes in Hawaii are higher, but they start on the sea floor, so that wasn't an option.
Right, yeah, mm-hmm. It was the highest altitude.
Wow.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, and I, we did a profile of you recently on the Another Mother Runner site, and you said it was the hardest thing you've done.
It was.
Correct?
But, you know, being a runner, you just assumed that, you know, your fitness and your tolerance of discomfort will translate to other things, but that's not necessarily true.
Mm. That's what I found in SoulCycle this morning. Yeah.
Perfect example.
On a much smaller scale.
I know how to hurt as a runner. And this was a very different type of discomfort, and, you know, experience does matter. So that was a big lesson.
Being up at that altitude, right? Like, I remember you just saying, like, taking, like, one step was difficult.
It was extremely difficult, yeah.
Mm. Would you do it again?
Yes. Well, you know, when I got to the top and I sat there and I was a little bit out of it and I said, never again, what did I get myself into? And why did I decide to do this? So I asked myself a lot of questions at, you know, 22,000 feet, which probably made no sense to me. And if you asked me back, you know, back then in December when I was on top of that mountain, I would have said, hell no, never. Yeah. But, you know, I've had some more oxygen and in
the
past
the
month,
mountain.
I'm down here and I've learned a lot from it and I know what I can do better and... Yeah, I would love to get another chance. Absolutely.
Wow. Wow. So that sort of leads into one question we had. In a recent Instagram post, you told a tale about talking to a teen girl in Oakland, and you said, everything I've achieved in running can be summed up by one word, perseverance. So talk to us about that.
Oh, do we have 3 hours?
Yes, we do.
Oh, no. Wow. Well, you know, it's really not just like one incident. It's not just, it's really just my life. I think that I've had a lot of opportunities in my life, whether by choice or not, to, you know, to learn things, not the hard way, but, you know, how to overcome certain things that, you know, that, you know, take time and patience and, you know, I've learned that, it's really worth, you know, going through that journey because only, you know, you come out on the other end a lot stronger and and ready for some, you know, for some bigger goals. Mm-hmm. And it started just, you know, with my parents kind of, you know, one day waking up and my mom telling me that we're moving, you know, to a different country and you get to pack one bag. And when you're in your teens, that's really hard. That's really hard to, you know, to comprehend, and getting through that. And, you know, we moved to Germany and, you know, you're suddenly in a new environment, new friends, new making new friends and new language. And that happened a couple of times to me. And then we moved here. So it's just, it's a sequence of, you know, of opportunities. You know, I don't see that as, wow, you know, my parents moved me around. But now I see it as, you know, there were big lessons in my life where, you know, where I learned to be strong. And then obviously being an athlete, you know, throughout my life, I've learned, you know, how to overcome certain things. And, you know, having 2 decades of that, I feel like, I've got some good tools in my bag.
And I love that you use the word opportunities, not challenges.
Right.
Because I think a lot of people would classify that in their mind and in the way they speak about it as a challenge, not an opportunity. So I think that really says a lot about you.
Well, and is it hard? I'm just curious, like just seeing you today. I mean, so it was like 5 o'clock, you know, 3 hours ago or so. Is it hard for you to show up day after day and still push yourself like that? You know, you said you make yourself miserable. Like, is that challenging or is that just part of like who you are at this point? Is it part of your DNA?
Yeah, I think I just embrace it. I'm really good at convincing other people to do crazy things too. So I'm really lucky that I work, you know, here where it's, you know, it's not that hard to convince someone to, you know, to go and start a run or do, you know, 1,000 step ups or, you know, it's sometimes all it takes is just having a person start something with you and then you just keep going. And after so many years, you know, I've learned that that it's really important to know how to convince people to do this stuff.
Yeah. Well, and lead by example for sure, right?
Yes.
I believe you do that. I think you do that for everybody, your Instagram followers, do you coach athletes as well?
I do. Yeah. One of my athletes and her training group is right here. Yes. Yeah.
Woohoo.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I think that, again, the power of, you know, other people, joining you in a journey is so valuable. It's, you know, I don't think I could have kept going for years and years and years if I didn't have other great, you know, training partners or friends or family who's supporting me and, you know, in whatever I do.
So the phrase eating is training, I've heard that bandied about a few times. I've seen it on your social media posts and certainly I've heard it here at Goo. So talk to us about eating is training.
Yes. So eating is training is a concept that here at Goo we believe it's about putting the right nutrients in your body at the right time for the right reason. So a lot of the times, you know, we think about food, you know, is this good for me or, you know, when should I eat it? And for athletes, it's really important to think about supporting the demand that you're putting on your body. Mm-hmm. So there are certain days where you might need a lot more energy on any given day because of the training that you're putting in. There are certain days that it may be beneficial to not to eat breakfast, depending on what you're training to adapt to get to a certain adaptation that you're going after in your training. So what we're trying to at Goo is to share the concept that you have to look at it holistically. You have to look at, you know, 27 approach to your eating, not just what you put in your body during training and racing, but 24/7 approach. And that is in order to, you know, to support positive adaptation. It's to recover well, and more than anything, to have longevity in the sport that you do without compromising, damaging your body, doing it responsibly.
So as a master's athlete, in terms of taking care of your body, what do you do for prehab and, you know, avoiding injury?
my favorite saying, and this is something that, you know, my coach used to tell me all the time, because, you know, runners can get in a habit of pushing and pushing, or just athletes in general can get in a habit of pushing and pushing and not really taking recovery seriously. And my favorite phrase from my coach is, you know, rest is a part of training, not avoiding training. It should be, you should take your rest as seriously as that workout that you think, you know, whether it's your long run or your interval session, it's as important, you know, to rest properly.
Mm-hmm. So what's, is a typical week have one rest day for you, or do you go in like 10 days? Like just curious.
Right. Yeah. So it really varies. Like, it depends where I am in my, you know, what I'm training for.
Sure.
There are certain races that, you know, are a lot lower intensity, and I can go longer in terms of consecutive days of training. But I jump in a pool. So my background is a swimmer, and I love jumping in a pool. It's, you know, something that is kind of part of my DNA, and I grew up swimming competitively before I realized that running is really what I was meant to do. So it's my go-to, get in a pool, and I try to do that once, you know, once a week. But strength training is huge for me. Like, the older I get, the more strength training I do. It's, you know, to maintain muscle mass. As a runner, there's a lot of breaking down muscle, especially, you know, the longer you go. It's really hard for us to, you know, to maintain that muscle mass. And as we age, same thing happens. So strength training is something that, you know, I do, you know, 3 times a week. And they don't have to be long sessions, but at least, you know, at least about half an hour. I find ways, and in my living room, I use a coffee table for step ups, or it really doesn't matter. Like, you don't need a lot of equipment to do strength training.
What's the move you hate the most, but know you have to do? Like, for that would be like either push ups or burpees, depending upon the day.
Oh,
for
God,
me.
Burpees.
I hate burpees, so I don't do them. But I mean, like, what do you do? Like, okay, so what's your favorite one and what's your least favorite one?
Well, step ups obviously are my new favorite thing, especially since the volcano training. I did a lot of step ups in preparation for that training, and for a couple of reasons. One, I was injured leading into that training, so I couldn't do a lot of running. So I really focused on a lot of strength training, and it was 6 weeks of really like 5 days a week strength training. And step ups were obviously going up a mountain, great tool. And we tested before we started implementing the training and right before we left. So we had 6 weeks of data on our body composition and bone density. And both my coworker and I lost 5 pounds of fat and gained 5 pounds of muscle. So our weight stayed the same, but we exchanged fat for muscle.
Wow.
Just by doing step-ups and a few other things.
Wow.
And we also gained 1.5% of bone density.
Wow.
And I'm just huge.
In my 40s. So we're looking at like maintaining bone density, and some of the strength exercise can give us some extra bone density. So that was huge. So okay. That is my favorite.
So like the step ups, and then which one do you like, oh, I'm going to leave this till the end, but I've got to do it, Magda. You've got to do it.
I don't like burpees.
do you do them or no?
Yes, I do them, and I don't like pikes. You know, when you're on a Swiss ball.
Yeah.
Ugh, yeah.
You don't like the pikes. Okay. No. All right.
Pikes or yeah, but I do it.
Yes.
Yeah, and your body kind of adapts eventually, and you know, you make friends with pikes and burpees. But
oh my goodness.
Yeah, but.
She's like, no, I don't.
No, I don't make friends.
Sarah doesn't make friends with burpees. Yeah. So again, it's just because people want to know: do you do a push-up on the burpee, or do you just do a just regular burpee?
Because they want to know.
A push-up, yeah, definitely push-up.
You do the push-up. Yeah, wow. Okay. Push-up. Yeah, I wouldn't expect anything less from you, but I just wanted to make that clear, just in case someone's fact-checking.
But you know, it's what's really interesting that when you first start, when you commit to a training program, even doing two burpees feels really, really hard. And your tolerance for discomfort is really, really low. But if you stick with it week after week, suddenly burpees will be quite comfortable. And before you know it, after 6 to 12 weeks, you're cranking out 20 burpees, and it's fine, and you're tolerating, like, what was I thinking? you know, 10 weeks ago. It's the beauty of your body adapting to stress. And if you commit yourself and give a little bit of time and patient and don't overdo it right away, you will get better. And that's why running is so incredible, because it rewards people that are patient, that progress slowly, and really believe in consistency, and you will get better. It's that simple.
All right, I think that's the message we're going to end on for you, Magda.
I agree. Consistency and progression. I love it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. We'll be cheering
for
you.
Good luck in Africa.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, and I saw that our next guest came in during that while we were talking to Magda. It is Alicia Montano. She is a 2012 Olympian and seven-time U.S. champion in the 800 meters. Alicia is known alternatively as the Olympian with a flower in her hair and the pregnant runner. She, though, is no longer pregnant. She just had baby number two in November.
Woohoo! Raise a glass. A glass, Alicia.
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely. Well, we are so glad to have you here. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Because you're coming in from just putting Aster down, as Sarah said. Is that correct?
Mom's night out right now.
So we got to make this fun.
Yeah. Bad mom.
Yeah.
Bad mom.
Yeah. Number three.
We got a minivan outside. We can go cruising around.
Hey.
Yeah.
Let's go cause a ruckus. You don't want to do that with me.
Oh my God! So is it true that you just breastfed Aster and put him down to bed?
I did.
You drained the dragons.
I remember.
Yes,
I drained the dragons. That's one of the things that I would say to my training partners before I'd leave for one of my tempos or any sort of partner workout. I'd be like, "Okay, guys, I'll be there in a minute. I have to drain the dragons first."
One of the best things anybody said on our podcast ever.
But yes, I just drained the dragons. I had left Aster home with Papa. I'm hoping he doesn't decide to do what babies do. It's like they know you have something to do, and all of a sudden they decide to change everything.
Oh, of course, sure, yeah.
So
your scent has left the house, and they know that.
Yeah,
you know,
I know. He's like, she's gone.
raise a ruckus.
Yeah, it was kind of that kind of happened before I left. Usually he's down by like 7:30, and just now he was kind of like, wah! I was like, what? Get the carrier. Like, put him down. He was, wrestling around a little bit, and Papa's like, "Should I go in there and get him?" I'm like, "No,
just let him go.
Let him do it. Mm-hmm. Let him do it himself, because I'm not trying to live that life."
We're sleep training.
Yeah.
So how's it going? How old is he?
Aster's about to be 4 months old.
4 months old. Yeah. So 24 weeks into having two. Like,
see,
on a 1 to 10, how's it going?
Is it 24 weeks?
Well. Oh, no, it's not. I'm sorry. It's 16 weeks.
Is it?
Don't check my math.
Don't ask her for math
but
and
the
dates.
The weeks and the months don't even, they don't even match up anymore.
No.
And so I don't know. Like, with Linnea, I get the second kid thing. Like, with Linnea, I was like, she is 14 weeks, 3 days, 7 hours.
Yeah.
Aster, I only know because, and actually it's like a little bit less than 4 months, but I only know because someone just recently asked me, and I was like, oh, my God, he's not 5 months. No, he's not. He was born in November. And I was like, yeah, he's almost 4 months.
Yeah,
with Linnea, like I said, I knew.
Welcome to the world, Aster.
Hey,
you always follow Linnea.
You're going to be fine.
You'll have a much more easier life, I will have to say. Yeah, you're not the test child.
And it's everything does seem more chill for us, at least.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're not like, what do we do? He's just sleeping. Okay.
Yeah.
And he's breathing. We're good.
Yeah,
we're good.
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember the first time Linnea slept through the night, I walked in there and basically woke her up. I was like, so she was up after that for about a good 3 hours. So.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, the pictures that you post on Instagram, I mean.
Is it too much?
Oh, it's so adorable. It is so adorable.
I'm trying to overpost, but.
For those of us who have teenagers, we just eat them up like Reese's Pieces. I mean, they just are so cute. I mean, babies.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you.
How's Linnea liking having a brother?
Well, from the very beginning, she said she was having a brother. Did you? If anybody followed along on Instagram, it was literally like, "I want a baby brother. Where's my baby brother?" From like day one, she was like, "Yes, my baby brother's coming." And we're like, "We don't even know what we're having."
Uh-huh.
And so she's thrilled. Now she's like, okay, so mom, when is my baby sister coming? I was like, oh. I need you to pump the brakes, little lady. No, but she loves him. He loves her. Like, he just sits there and watches everything she... You guys have seen her on Instagram. Yeah, if you haven't, just pop in. Yeah. She's my kid, so I don't even have that. I'm like, my mom's like, yeah, so good luck. She's running around, and he just watches her. He's like, hi, you know, the whole thing. And I'm like, I get when people say, like, the second kid can make it easier. I know, like, some family dynamics are different. But for us, I don't, like, I forgot. Like, the newborn stage went by really quick because she was just like, blah, blah, and I remember when we had her and you're just trying to entertain her. You're like, ugh.
Right, right.
Like, yes, this is so fun. You're so cool. With him, we're just like, we're making full-on dinner right now. And she's just going, blah. And he's like,
ugh. So, loves her. Yeah. Just wait till he's mobile. Then things change just a little bit.
Right? I try not to say any of the things I'm saying because we already did that with Linnea and we paid for it later. We're like, she sleeps so well. And then she, like, went the other half. Or she decided she was going to wake up like every night at like the age of two. And we're like, what are you doing? You were like the dream child. Do you remember?
Stay sleepy. So, all right. So, but how are you doing postpartum? How's your body doing after baby number two?
My body feels really good, actually. Like and I'm not sure if I just went through a stage of denial of what had just happened, having two kids and everything that just went down. But I feel like I kind of went through the recovery process. I don't know if I want to say quicker than Linnea, but I definitely remember, like, there's some men in here, but the ring of fire, for a longer period of time than with Aster. Uh-huh. Like, I went back to the hospital and was like, can I get another one of those things?
No.
I'm just sorry. TMI.
But I did. TMI.
Yeah. I was like, excuse me. Hi. Are those things free?
Right. Right. Exactly.
What do they go for? Yeah.
Wait, wait for other moms coming out. Hey, are you going to use that?
Yeah. I'll take it. Yeah. But with Aster, like, I felt, I also think it was the second time around. And I just was like, oh, I know what to expect ish. Mm-hmm. And he literally came flying into the world.
I was just reading your birth post on Instagram. Some research for this. I was like, wow.
Yeah, he just
like one push?
Two, technically. Okay. Well, actually, let's not go technical. I don't know. Maybe like five, to be honest. Okay. Like on the table.
Sure.
But the second push, like they weren't ready for him. Type of.
Wow.
He's fine though.
He didn't land on the floor on that linoleum.
Yeah. No. It was. I got to the hospital. We ended up doing the whole triage deal, and I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I don't know. It just hurts a little bit. But I didn't feel that way with Linnea, so I'm not trying to be that person. Like, with Linnea, I was like, oh, we're not going to make it. And I don't know what it was. Like, with Aster, I was like, oh. Like, I think also with Linnea, my water broke. Oh. So I was like, impending doom is about to happen, you know, or whatever. It's not really doom, but you know what I mean. And then with Aster, I felt like there was enough time to think about what I was going through, because it literally was 3 hours. And
total.
Then, yeah, total, yes.
Wow.
Like, I started feeling
confused. Waste no time. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was just like, I'm
gold
coming,
medal
my
Olympian
sister
time.
Needs me. You know, So I basically, when I got to the hospital, we went into the tub and she was like, okay, if you're feeling any urge to push, and I was like, So they're like, okay, when you get a chance, we'd like you to try to get out. If you
pop
could.
On out there.
And so, yeah. So then, like, when I was getting out, there was like another urge, and then I got on the table, another urge, and then my water broke. And then he just flew out of there.
Just gushed out. I love that.
Yeah. The midwife was like holding his back and, you know, the nape of his neck and was like, so Papa, do you, okay. You don't really have an opportunity. He's a.
Cut that cord.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to cut it? That's what I was going to ask you. Yeah. So.
So have you like thought much about your, I mean, obviously it sounds, I mean, you look amazing. You sound like you have amazing energy and a great perspective, which is great. No, I mean, seriously though, that's not the case for everybody. So that's awesome. Like, have you thought much about your physical being and your running at this point? Or are you still just kind of reveling in being the mom of two?
I want to approach it the same way I did with Linnea. Like, I had a really good time just kind of letting every day come. I'm a runner for life. Like, I just cannot live without it. So, as we could see in my pregnancies. but I want to be able to enjoy my experiences on a day-to-day basis as a mom of two, as a career woman. And I feel like by not making it something that like I have to stress X date that I need to be ready by,
sure,
or then it's going to keep me healthy. I did that same thing with Linnea, and I just happened to fall into great opportunities that allowed me to, you know, be relatively successful.
Were timed well. Yeah.
Yeah. They were timed well. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I'm hoping for something like that. But like I said, I really enjoy doing the community stuff. I want to be involved in more. Well, I shouldn't say this out loud because I know somebody who was just up here would be really excited about it, but I want to be involved in more road races and things like that.
Magda, she coaches athletes.
Oh, she's
she loves
hardcore.
Burpees too. She's, so, you know.
Well, I'm just going to be like, good job. One. Two. I'll just cheer her on with the burpees.
Well, you can do 20 after 12 weeks. No, no, that's great. Road races, yeah, like a 5K.
Oh,
or...
I do like the longer distance races. So just yeah, 5Ks, road miles, all the
longer distances.
For
you,
all the fun stuff. Uh-huh. Like, let's just be honest. Yeah. Like running two laps around the track forever and ever and ever. I don't know. Mix it up. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Change the scenery. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So
some obstacle races, perhaps.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Just keep it hardcore.
Get the mud. No problem.
Yeah, hey.
But it might get your Wonder Woman top dirty. Because when you were last on the podcast, you talked about how you wore a Wonder Woman bra top.
Yeah.
That you sort of just bought kind of impromptu. Yep. And you wore when you're pregnant and with your belly proudly showing. But it seems like now you really maybe have a collection of Wonder Woman tops,
yeah,
and like
yeah.
Seems like you've really embraced that. So
yeah, that happened on accident. Uh-huh. I just kept buying Wonder Woman stuff. But it's funny because I didn't even know. I told you though, I didn't even know the Wonder Woman movie was coming out.
Right,
living under a rock, by the way. And my friend was like, "Oh, do you want to come to a movie with us?" And I was like, "Actually, you know, I'd love to come to a movie." I was maybe like, well. It was just before the movie, so it was maybe just about 13 weeks pregnant,
yeah,
or something
uh-huh,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what movie we were going to go see, and I was like, "Oh, that time slot looks great." And I was wearing a Wonder Woman shirt.
Oh no!
No, sorry. I was wearing the Wonder Woman shirt earlier that day.
Oh, okay.
And then she's like, "We're going to see Wonder Woman." I was like, "That's perfect! I'm wearing Wonder Woman shirt." I was like, "Wonder Woman, the movie's out? What?" Mm-hmm. And uh-huh. I was like, "Yeah." So then I'm on the bandwagon.
So that's kind of your. She's your super. Your spirit superhuman. Superhero.
Yeah, I mean, I would say she came at a very good time in my life.
Uh-huh. Yeah. She showed up.
Yeah, she showed up at a very good time. I think we could all have used her at that moment in time. And so for me, I was feeling a lot like Wonder Woman. So I was like, yeah, you and I, you know, we can mesh. Uh-huh. Yeah, we could have a thing.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little, let's go back a little bit to road racing and maybe not, the particular like 5K 1 mile, but I love this message that Sarah pulled out. You embodied recently something that you said on Instagram, which is do not be afraid of your evolution.
Yeah.
And I love that the idea that you're just evolving as a human and you're not necessarily looking back, right?
Yeah.
Because it's always easy to look back and say, I ran that fast or I did that. Mm-hmm. And your body changes so much and you get older and your life changes and your priorities change, but you can always evolve, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that some people get stuck in this process of, well, I did this like this, so I have to keep doing it like that. And I think mm-hmm. you could also, like myself personally, like I could get caught up in what everybody expects of me because I did it like that last time. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Especially from someone who's in the public eye, I could definitely take that pressure on to think I have to do it the same exact way. But then you're just like, no, this is my journey. This is my story. I'm fine with evolving. I'm fine with changing. I'm fine with taking my own calculated risks and seeing what's on the other side of that door. I don't have to keep, you know, trudging in the same room that you expect me to be in because mm-hmm. you met me in that room. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
I love that. That's a really just good message for anybody in any mm-hmm. stage of life, whether you're a runner or not. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right. I'm going to say that if you came out with a book, whether it was about, you know, training, about mothering, about, you know, how to look strong and lovable, you know, whatever that book is, we would definitely be the first to pre-order it on Amazon. So
right, I'm getting on that.
Yeah. So I mean, everything you write on Instagram just resonates with people so much. And
Thank you.
You just really are, you are so authentic. And what you're saying is really striking a deep chord with people, it seems like.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
So how many words into your narrative are you?
Yeah. I mean, well, do you think
see
about
how many words I read on Instagram? Yeah. So I'm like, I don't, the caption, the one sentence doesn't work for me.
I have noticed that. Yeah.
It doesn't work. I'm doing a mini blog again, mini blog.
So, but yeah. do you think about coming out with a book?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm just going to leave it right there.
Okay. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Well, we would pre-order many copies. Yeah.
I've got a lot of ideas in the works, mm-hmm. a lot of projects. I like being, like having my hands on things. I like making things come to fruition. I mm-hmm. don't like being much of a talker. Never really been like that. Mm-hmm. So.
You're a producer.
Yeah. I'd like to walk.
Take action.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so you take action. You do burpees with your little ones, right? So you do incorporate your kids into your workouts.
I do burpees, but like they're not my favorite. So
yeah, I don't, anyone favorite burpees? Anybody? Nope. Okay.
Yeah.
We've taken a poll. Yeah. It's official. Yeah. Right. No burpees. Yeah. No favorites.
Yeah.
So how, like, you have a 3-year-old, right?
Yeah.
So how do you incorporate her if we have women listening? Like, how do you get her excited to be out there as you do your thing?
You know, I think I just was doing all of my training around her at a very young age. So now I make it play.
At a very young age.
At a very, like,
three.
Yeah. Even younger of an age than three. Like, she was my med ball at points in time. You know, you make it fun by, you know, doing all the baby noises and faces and things like that. And then now, you know, once you started walking, crawling, I'd do anything where there was like a tunnel to go under, you can make a game out of it. And so I just make a game out of everything that I'm doing, to be completely honest. And, and sometimes it's just funny because she just will be like, oh, Mom, I'm working out. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm just making dinner. And she's like, she'll take a stick and just be like,
deadlifts.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, good job, Linnea. The other day, I actually didn't even tell her what to do. We got this little plush kettlebell toy. And she just started doing, like, you know, goblet squats with them, and I'm like, I did not tell her to do this. She's like, yeah, this is what we do, this, you know. And then she's like, okay, and now it's the purse. I just try to make it fun for them. I mean, I do make it fun for them. Obviously they don't want to be doing what I'm doing, like, actually, like, working out for some results type of deal. They're like, this is a game. And you're like, actually, mm-hmm. it is.
Yeah,
we can have fun with this. I'm having fun with this. So that's what I try to do. Linnea is interesting though, because she will be the one that's saying, hey, Mom, do you want to do a workout? I'm like, actually, no.
She's your little Magda.
But
like,
yes, let's do it. What do you want to do? Let's do some jumping jacks. Okay, Mom, you have to do 10 push-ups. Like, she'll do stuff like that. And I'm so we have a lot of fun.
Are you hitting the gym and doing stuff at home, or like, tell us about your daily workout routine right now?
My daily workout routine, it's so different because of how I roll with working out.
Yeah.
My week is just, I incorporate everything. Like, I go from long runs to tempos to sprint works to weight. I basically throw everything in there.
Yeah.
It kind of works for my personality too.
Of course.
It just depends. Like, I go to the gym, actually. I use the gym at Cal twice a week.
Okay.
And then at home, I just do strength stuff twice a week as well. So it ends up being 4 times a week, but my strength stuff at home is, like, really body weight stuff. You know, I have some free weights. Just kind of maintenance. I agree with Magda. I don't think you have to get in the gym. I just like the environment, like, to be able to just, like, crank it out sometimes.
So I'm, like, the motivation.
And have the motivation, yeah. You have people walking in there and doing their thing, and you're like, oh, cool, nice biceps. What are you? Oh, I'm gonna do that.
Yeah, right.
Never mind. I'm gonna stick to my routine. Sorry, that's cool that you could do that. But it's just nice to kind of have the environment. I think that matters in a lot of different training regimens. I think it matters on the track. I think it matters on the road. Yeah, it's sometimes you want your solid air and your solo space. But after time and time again, I think I enjoy the social aspect of training and the social aspect of running. Yeah. So
do you have some running partners that you're out with?
Absolutely
these days?
Not, sadly. No.
Oh, sorry. Oh.
Yeah. No.
You want to go? Sarah's going to run along the bay tomorrow.
No, I wish I did. That's been, like, for real, though, like a really hard road for me, like, my entire career.
Oh.
I went and I trained with Joaquim Cruz down in San Diego. Oh. And it was awesome. We had a nice, like, he's just an amazing person. Just after I got injured in 2008, and mm-hmm. it was great, but it's that was very much like a dorm atmosphere. And I'm like, I'm an adult woman. I cannot stare at Olympic rings and sleep in and out of dorms. Like, you move rooms every, like, week.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And apparently the Olympic Training Center in Chula Vista isn't really a thing anymore. It's just in Colorado Springs. Huh. And now it's called the Chula Vista, I think, Elite Center.
Oh, huh.
Which is, I bet you they're gearing it towards what our needs really would be. It was just different, so I can't really say what it's like right now because I don't really know. And then coming back to Cal was a decision that I made based on, like, the overall vibe and love of just, like, the Bay Area and knowing Tony training program, our relationship, and knowing I had friends that were here was a really
big difference. Yeah,
I was doing a lot by myself. I was actually went down to San Diego hoping to train with Alice Schmidt, who was one of the top 800 meter runners at the time, and she ended up being injured the entire year, and I was just like, I don't know if I can do that and the dorm room life,
that's
you know,
tough.
So
that's tough, yeah.
I'll take the solo training and friends
and have
the other side,
an adult life.
An adult life. So, so that's what I ended up doing, but it was hard. It is, I mean, it still is like, just being able to have training partners. I would end up with the college kids and it was fine for a period of time because I was still closer in age to them. And then as I started aging up, I was like, we don't talk about the same thing. Yeah. Oh, my kid. Oh, you're not talking about your kids.
Do you Snapchat with them?
Yeah.
Are you a Snapchatter?
No.
Okay, that's okay. I'm not either.
I know. Yeah, I feel like I feel bad because everyone's talking junk about Snapchat right now and they're losing stock. So I'm going to say, Snapchat, you're going to do fine. You can do it. But no, I don't really Snapchat. But the good thing is when I was training with the college kids, I still am to a lot of them a mentor and but it's hard when you're training and doing that at the same time because you're trying to just do your grind and you know that's how my experience has been and I really like what Shalane has done, like, you know, her talking about creating a group and trying to make like a bunch of women come together and bring them all up and really just understand that concept and wanting something like that to happen. But it's hard. It is hard. Magda actually started a track club back in 2009 or 10, trying to kind of bring like a community aspect to it of elite runners that were in the Bay Area. And but it, again, that's still really hard just with the range of people. But it was better than doing it the way that I was doing it, to be completely honest. But it worked out when I was. We didn't have any kids. And my husband, you know, could come in and work with some of the workouts that I was doing and just change the whole game, just not being able to do it like that. Like, I'm like, oh, okay, I have to just do it by myself. What am I going to think about right now?
Do you ever push your kids in a stroller or are you out by yourself?
No. Yeah, I do. Oh, okay. I push them. Yeah, I definitely push my kids in the stroller. I like it. Some people don't, but I do. My daughter calls it the rocket ship.
Well, it probably is with you running behind it, right?
You know, and it's helpful that she's down with the rocket ship because sometimes some kids don't want to get in it. And they're like, no, we have to get this done. You're like, get in the rocket ship. blast off. Sorry, it's not landing yet. We got to make it to Jupiter 30 minutes later. All right, woo, we're at Jupiter. Isn't that so cool? Right. Yeah.
Tell her she'll be glad she has a mother who's an 800 meter runner, you know, rather than a marathoner.
True. That's true. Yeah, that could be a different story for Magda. Yeah. Rolling up and down the hills with a
3 hours,
a
5 hours later. Yeah.
Woo, mom, that was so. Actually, you know, that might be great.
Like train through the night, though, you know? Pretty much.
Yeah. So.
That is awesome. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you. I mean, thank you for sharing your gals' night out with us.
Yeah. Does anyone have any questions for Alicia anyone want to ask her anything?
I am too much of an open book, so don't be shy.
I know. Seriously.
Yeah. I might make you guys nervous.
Yeah.
With my answers.
Okay.
All right. Well, I say we let it. Oh, yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
Southern California. I'm from Santa Clarita Valley, and it's just a small town right outside, of LA, I guess you'd say. Magic Mountain. That was my high school job. I was a character.
No. A character.
Actually, so you go in for the week and you're lined up, so you change characters. So,
really?
Oh, just like your dorm room.
just like my dorm room. Yeah, I'd be, I got to be Daffy Duck.
Oh, okay.
I got to be, you know, was my least favorite because the kids would always pull on your bell, and so you'd be like,
neck.
And you're not allowed to talk, so you'd be like, stop it, you know? And I got to, yeah, a bunch of the characters. I got to be Petunia. I can't even remember all of them. That's the one of the pigs.
Oh, okay.
Which was awesome. Yeah. I mean, nobody can see me. I'm just in it, like, woo! It's really silly. If you do a lot of, like, there was an audition to be a character. You had to just, they had to say things like, okay, be Helium. And you'd be like, you just kind of, like, act out what to be. And then that's how you got hired.
Wow.
So I passed.
I don't see it. I don't see you being animated. It's a stretch. Not at all. Yeah.
One of my favorites was Lola, but I did have a moment where I was like, "Do I really want to be Lola Bunny again?" At the end, there's a parade. I think it's still at 7:30, but it was for us. Where you have the dance, and you do the whole dance, and. This guy was like, "Oh my God, look at Lola Bunny." And well, maybe it's not, but anyways, at the time for me, he was like, "Lola Bunny's jacked. That's gotta be a dude." And I was like, "Oh." So I'm like this 15-year-old flat chested with huge quads. I mean, now I'm like, you know, I'm like, yeah, like,
Lola Bunny.
Yeah, Lola. But as a 15-year-old, I was like, oh, like I'm a girl. I guess I don't have any breasts, but like, you know, you recognize later, but your body image is so different. But yeah, I was definitely like, I don't know if I would be Lola again.
I'll go back to Petunia then.
Yeah, I'll do Petunia where my whole body's covered. Yeah, because Lola Bunny's outfit was like stockings. So I think about it, big old feet. She's like short. Have you guys seen Space Jam?
Do you remember she Michael had, Jordan?
Just like thinking about it now, it's kind of funny that they had me like that. They even dressed her like that. She has like little booty shorts.
Booty shorts, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was 15. Well, sorry, mom.
Yeah,
right. Think about it. Like,
you're like, Linnea is not being Lola Bunny
ever.
I'm just
really thinking about it right now. Like,
bringing back memories.
Yeah. Wait a minute. That was really scantily clad.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine. I don't care. I was. Anyways, I'm not gonna say anything else.
Okay. Save it for the book. Save it for the book. Yeah.
Or Instagram. Yeah. One or the other.
Best Lola Bunny you've ever seen.
All right. Well, we look forward to following along with more of your Instagram adventures. Thank you so much for sharing
thank you guys.
Here.
Yeah. Thanks for
awesome. Having me. And thanks for your energy and all your insight.
Thank you. Yeah.
So, all right, well, our podcast this evening was produced in Berkeley, California by Alex Ward from Sounds Like Pictures. Many happy miles.
Many happy miles and burpees.